Hello, everybody. Cal Banyan here. Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc. Once again, I'm back with Brenda Titus. And let me tell you, today's topic is going to be interesting. We're going to talk about medical referrals, and I just might get in a rant about something else that came up this week. All right, let me tell you about Brenda. Brenda Titus is an up-and-comer in the profession. She's done 40, this will be the 43rd podcast hypnosis training video with us. She's been doing these videos now for 2 years, and give or take. And I want to tell you what, she's got a great background to be doing this work. She's got a Bachelor of Arts degree in Sociology and a Master's degree in Criminology. She's worked at Rape Crisis Intervention Center or Network, or I don't know what you call it exactly. And she's presented at the National Guild of Hypnotists Convention. And most importantly, she helps supervise practice sessions in our certification courses, our 10-day NGH Banyan Super Course for certification in hypnosis and hypnotherapy, and our Week of Power. And she doesn't just talk the talk, she walks the walk. She's done many, many sessions. She does gobs of clients every week. How you doing, Brenda?
I'm doing great, Cal. Thank you so much for having me today. And let me introduce you all to Cal. Cal is the authority in hypnosis that works. He developed the 5-path system of hypnotherapy, 7th path self-hypnosis. And I can really say that because not only have I experienced 5-path, but I've also performed 5-path with many clients. And as Cal said, I came straight from a whole other field, had no other plan that I was going to be doing this, took Cal's classes, learned a lot from him, and here I am. And I'm thrilled to be here today to talk a little bit more about hypnosis. And so thank you so much for having me today, Cal.
Hey, I don't know how I can be so excited about this. I mean, you know, when I first started this, if I thought I'd be doing 400 plus podcasts, I probably would have just passed out and said, forget about it. But somehow, I think it's because of fresh blood like you, fresh blood like Erica, and every co-host that's been fresh blood along the line. You bring a certain kind of energy and perspective that just keeps me excited about this stuff. That's what I think.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that is a really important part, and why actually, you know, we love to bring great topics here to the show, things where we go out. I know actually part of what we're going to talk about today is because I get out and I meet other new people who are interested and who have questions. And so then they come and they ask us, because then we know that we can ask you. So today, Cal, I wanted to talk a little bit about working with medical referrals. And I know that back a few months ago, you had Reverend C. Scott Giles on, and I will remind everybody, episodes 391, 395, and 396. Cal and Reverend Scott Giles actually talked about working with the medical field and getting referrals from the medical field, doing specific kinds of hypnosis. However, Cal, someone actually did talk to me about this at the convention this summer. She said, you know, she was feeling very frustrated because she was getting a lot of no's from the medical community. She was going out and you know, she had clients that wanted to see her, wanted her assistance, and when she would send in their release to get authorization to see these clients, the doctor said no. So I wanted to talk today a little bit about, obviously, sometimes no really does mean no, and sometimes it means that the doctors need to know more. So what do you think about that, Cal?
Well, I think this is a very important subject, and it depends where you live. Isn't that right?
Yeah, good point, yeah.
Because before we could even begin this conversation, is one of my Banyanisms is, if you can't afford to do it right, then you can't afford to do it, because you do not want to be a hypnotist who's in jail or going broke with legal expenses because you've been convicted or you're fighting a case of practicing medicine without a license. So you've got to know the laws where you work. And secondly, above all, you've got to put your client's needs first. So you cannot do anything that could possibly harm the client. So within that context, I'm setting you loose. What you got for us?
All right. So and you brought up such a really important point, which is you really need to know the laws where you are practicing. You need to know your stuff. You need to have good training, good background, know what you're doing, be professional. And the truth is that sometimes the doctor, there's a reason that they are saying no. And so sometimes you really need to accept that no, obviously. The doctor may have a history with that client. Maybe the client isn't telling you the whole story when they're saying that they want to come and see you. So you need to be aware of that. Maybe sometimes the reason the doctor is saying no is because they know more about the issue, the concern, the problem than the client is actually telling you about. Very important that you know your limits and your boundaries. Are there mental health issues that you need to be aware of with this client? Medical issues that are beyond, obviously beyond your scope, because we don't do medical issues. We help normal everyday people with normal everyday problems. So be very aware of what is your scope. And the truth is, okay, so let's say the doctor says no. It could be a no for right now. And the truth is, actually, I had a client recently. Someone called me and they wanted assistance with their 10-year-old daughter. And I was very good about having very limited scope of practice with this client, self-esteem, confidence, stress relief, etc. And the doctor said no. And I had to accept that, because the truth is that the girl was actually in more crisis than I was aware of. The mom just desperately wanted me to see her, but she wasn't telling me the whole story. And so the doctor said, nope, not at this time. But we left the door open as well. Maybe with a little bit of maturity, maybe a little bit on her part, a little bit more maturity on her part, understanding what she was going through. Further down the road, maybe the door would be open for a release. So how about that, Cal?
I think that's an excellent perspective. I want to modify something you said just a little bit. And that is, in general, we work with normal everyday people with normal everyday problems. And in general, we don't work with medical issues. But sometimes we do. Sometimes we do work with medical issues as a part of a team. And that team, when we get a doctor to give us a referral, then in a way we're teaming up with that physician. For example, with pain. You should never work on pain without a physician's referral, because pain is a very important symptom for a doctor to know how well treatment is going, or how severe the problem is, or where it is, and this kind of thing. So you must be part of that treatment team if you're going to work with pain, for example. And there's other kinds of medical issues, hypertension, things like this, that through working with hypnosis, removing stress and fears and this kind of things, that we can help the person become healthier. But when we're doing that kind of work, highly recommended, and in some places it's absolute legal must, you must be working in conjunction with the individual's physician. Now, also, you might work in conjunction with a psychiatrist or a psychologist. Now, a psychiatrist is a medical doctor whose primary care circles around mental health issues. And a psychologist is not a medical doctor, but a clinical expert in mental health and mental illness. And I've worked with referrals from both of those professions also. For example, with psychogenic illness. Many of you out there have heard me talk about the story of the blind boy, where with using 5-PATH, we were able to help regain this 15-year-old teenager's sight. But the sight loss was psychogenic. It means the problem started because of something that was going on subconsciously. So, slight modification there. I just wanted to put it out. And please continue. I've got a couple more things to add.
I appreciate you sharing that part, Cal, because I want to be sure you actually are clearly more advanced than me, more knowledgeable than me, and I didn't want to get that part wrong, because I do want to be so careful about when we are talking about medical parts. Because, you know, obviously, a lot of times, actually, when we do hypnosis, clients get better, you know, and sometimes there is either, you know, just like you said, psychogenic illness, or as we alleviate, you know, emotional elements, then physical ailments actually clear up on their own. But I agree. Yeah, working with a team, especially on certain issues, is so, so key, which is where we get to that next part that I wanted to talk about, which is, instead of when a doctor says no, N-O, sometimes they need to know more about what's going on, K-N-O-W, being a part of the team, okay? You want to talk to the doctors about your techniques and how they can be beneficial for your client. That might actually turn it around so that you are a part of the team that is helping this client. Be sure that the doctor understands what your goals with the client are, what your client's goals are. Sometimes just by the doctor understanding what you do, how you do it, why it works, and how it can help the client ultimately, that may change their perspective on if they agree that, you know, it would be appropriate to release the client to see you, or to work in a team effort to help the client. And then I think, again, going back and carefully framing the scope of your work, you know, in a situation, like I said, with this young girl, you know, there was a little bit more going on with her. And I said, well, you know, but mom really wanted her help emotionally dealing, you know, with test anxiety. The doctor said, nope, you're going to touch too many other things that I don't see how you can do it right now while she's dealing with some other emotional issues and physical issues. So he wasn't willing to do it at that time. But if you can carefully frame then for the doctor to understand you're doing stress relief, confidence work, what have you, that might help alleviate some of their concerns as well, so that, you know, we can get clients the help that they need. And you know, it's kind of interesting, Cal, sometimes we help somebody and we help alleviate pains or difficult things that they're going through and we don't even realize. Jesse told me yesterday that I saw a woman just at first session, we were doing some work with procrastination. She leaves and her foot was miraculously healed. I guess she had some sort of foot pain. I didn't really know anything about it, never mentioned, but she felt amazing when she left, so she felt like she was on top of the world. So, you know, sometimes when we alleviate those emotional issues, physical symptoms will go away or be alleviated too, which is kind of a neat thing. But we want the doctors that we're working with, if they say no, sometimes we need to accept that no for the time being. Like I said, always educating, helping them know what we are there to do. Maybe we will be part of a team to be able to assist that client as well. So how about that, Cal?
Well, I think that's an excellent observation, and we see it all the time. When I started doing hypnosis work that included age regression and forgiveness work and parts work, this really deep insight-driven level that really changes how they feel emotionally on the inside, funny things started happening. Someone would come in for stop smoking, and then they come in for a second session, and they've got a note from their physical therapist. What did you do with my patient, the note said, to alleviate his knee pain? Well, I didn't work directly on knee pain. The knee pain was a side effect of whatever was going on inside of them that was causing them to not be able to stop smoking on their own. With Loretta, one of the videos I show in class, a series of videos that I show Five Path, and she's coming in for confidence, because she's going into a world of getting new job and having the confidence to do that. And what happens? Her chronic headaches go away. Now, obviously, we don't have to get a doctor's referral for that kind of thing. It's just a wonderful thing that happens. I want to put one more thing in there, too. Sometimes, if I don't believe I'm going to get because of a legal environment, a referral, then I will, and this is in our business startup pack. We have a series of letters and correspondence and things like that that we use with doctors and that kind of thing. But instead of asking for a referral, which for some doctors, that's too much of an association. with us. They don't know about hypnotherapy. They don't know us. And so they're not going to have that kind of maybe even liability of a referral. I'll ask for a notification. I say, I'm just checking with you to make sure that it's not contraindicated, which means in the doctor's view, there's nothing about hypnosis that would interfere with the work they're doing. So it's not contraindicated. From what they know, the hypnosis work is not going to make things worse. So contraindicated is a step down from getting a referral. And the other thing that's cool about contraindicated is that it's a way for you to begin to educate the doctor. Even though the doctor might not be willing to do a referral, it gives you a notification of not contraindicated. Now you've got the doors open to give them feedback on their patient and how well he or she is doing, which educates the doctor on the quality of your work and your scope of practice and what you can do. Now there's one more step down from that, and that is, you can just do a letter of professional courtesy. And that is just to let them know. You're not asking for permission. You're not checking to see if it's contraindicated. And you could do this with just about anything your clients work on. If you want to start educating the doctors in your area, you can just send them a letter that says, just as a matter of professional courtesy, I want to let you know that your patient so-and-so has contacted our office and will begin receiving hypnosis sessions for fill in the blank. It might be stop smoking, or it might be confidence, or it might be stress relief. And then once you've sent that, then you've opened the door to once again continue to educate the doctor and to say, you know, at the end of the sessions or 3 months later or 6 months later, you can send that physician once again a letter, just a follow-up, just a professional courtesy to let you know that your patient so-and-so came to my office, received sessions for such and such, and upon a 3 month follow-up still remains free of this problem, still remains free of stop smoking, has lost 30 pounds or whatever it is. And that is a huge way to educate doctors and also get possible future referrals from them. What do you think of that, Brenda?
Excellent. Perfect. I really hope that this addressed the questions that the person had come to me and talked to me about. I'm so sorry I didn't get your name, but we talked a few times over the weekend, and so I hope that this all helped clear things up for you. And always remember, for all of you, you can send me and Erica questions either through the comments section here on calbanion.com, on the Facebook page. Cal always, if we miss it, he'll make sure to always let us know too. So, you know, if you guys have questions out there, it's so important. This is how Erica and I come up with content for these episodes, is by getting those questions either in person or out there through email, different places. So please send in your questions. And so Cal, before we wrap up, I know you had something that you wanted to talk about that had come up recently. What do you think about talking about that for a couple minutes?
I'm just going to spend a minute on this, maybe two. I tell you what, let's work together to make our profession better, both in the work we do and how we present ourselves. One of my Banyanisms is, if you can't afford to do it right, then you can't afford to do it. And the other day I was on the internet and I did a Google search for hypnosis training, because I like to see where my websites come up on that as I let the world know about our upcoming hypnosis training programs. And I'm starting to learn about Google AdWords in a new way. And so I was checking the advertisements, and this one school, and I'm not going to mention the school, but I've seen two, maybe three schools do this. And it says, you know, have you seen those the advertisements on Google? It's just a few lines. It's either on the side or it's at the top of the natural search listings. And they put there, I wrote it down, job placement assistance. And I said, job placement assistance for hypnotists? I want to know more about that, because A, I didn't believe they actually did it. I thought it was misleading. And B, if they are actually placing hypnotists in jobs, I want to know about that, because I know some really great hypnotists graduating from my courses that I'd like to help place them in jobs. Because the truth is, hypnosis and hypnotherapy, consulting hypnotism, whatever you want to call it, is an entrepreneurial profession. Kind of like dentists or like physicians. You open up a practice. You very, very few hypnotists graduate from a certification course and get hired somewhere. So that's a job. A job is where you are an employee and there is an employer and you get a check once a week, every 2 weeks, once a month. That's job placement. And so I visited their website, and one of these little windows popped up, and you know where it says, "Hi, would you like to chat?" I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I want to chat. Tell me about your job placement program for hypnotherapists." And you know, it was like they tried to kind of go off on a tangent. And I says, "Well, what's your percentages?" And there was this conversation about, "Oh, we can't really talk percentages because blah blah." I go, "Okay." In your ad, you say job placement assistance. Tell me about you placing your graduates in jobs. Don't even tell me percentages. Tell me about that. And then, my goodness, I couldn't even believe it. And I had two such conversations on their website. They said, "Well, actually, that's one of our entrepreneurial programs, and we don't really do job placement. We can advise them on setting up an office. And I'm saying, do you understand that job placement assistance means they're going to get a job and that that's false advertising? And they hem-hawed about it, did two chats on the website, sent an email to the owner of that school, and they no longer have that in their ad. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Because, you know, how do we build trust? We build trust by making promises and keeping them. And how do we build confidence in our profession? We make promises and we keep them. And when we say we're going to do stuff that we're not going to do, it hurts everybody in the profession and it hurts our clients. It hurts possible future hypnotists who are looking for a program. So be honest. If you see an advertisement in Google Plus or whatever, not Google Plus, Google AdWords or on Yelp or on anything, and it says job placement assistance or anything like that, I want you to contact them. And you say, "Tell me about it. Tell me how you're going to help me get a job where I have an employer and I have an insurance plan. I have all those things that are..." People go to school a lot of times because they want to get a job. And if they're misleading you like that, press them on it, and maybe they'll take that ad down. Because all I'm asking for here is the truth. Because just like we've talked about in this episode and previous episodes, you've got to put the needs of the client first. If you're an instructor, you must put the needs of your potential students first. And then second, you have to put the needs of the profession second. And then third, you can look at putting down the needs of your business or your school. All right, that's it. That's my rant, and I'm sticking to it. Any last words there, Brenda?
You hit it right on the head there. I really appreciate you sharing some of those things, and I agree. I think we have to be very clear with people when they come in and they take trainings. This isn't about getting a job, you know. This is about starting a practice, developing your hypnosis practice. You don't have a job, you don't have a boss. It's really awesome. There's a lot of really great parts about it. Very different kind of world though. So yes, thank you so much, Cal, for following through with that and getting that ad off of there, because it felt like I was really taking advantage of people. You know, people who are looking for jobs, they're seeking anything, and we got to be sure that people who are going into this profession know what they're doing when they're coming in, and that they're getting appropriate training, good training, so that they can be successful. Because the more successful hypnotists that are out there, the more people are going to be helped. And that's a great thing. So thank you all so much for joining us today. I'm going to sign off with that. I look forward to seeing you next time.
Thank you so much, Brenda. We'll have you back in about a month or so. I believe we've got Erica coming up next for the next few episodes. And for you folks out there, you want to take my training, and I hope you do. You can do it live on site, or you can do it live online from anywhere in the world that has a good internet connection. We've got our next class is March 2nd through the 13th with the weekend off here at the Banyan Hypnosis Center. It is the 10-day NGH-approved Banyan Hypnosis Hypnotherapy Certification Super Course. And then we've also got our Week of Power for you folks who are already certified, skill and confidence building course with 5-path and 7-path. That one is scheduled for May 3rd through the 9th. And of course, if you're watching this video a year from now or 2 years from now, you can always get our schedule here on calbanyan.com, and you can always call our office. Hey, if you like what we're doing, if you like our videos, please, if you love us, let the world know. If you're watching us on iTunes, give us a rating there, a 5-star rating if you can. And then also on Google Plus, give us a good rating. It helps get the word out. Or hey, if you go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/hypnosisETC, you'll both get in on the conversation. And please give us a 5-star rating. I think we deserve it. All right, that's it. Cal Banyan over and out.
This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and the Banyan Hypnosis Center for Training and Services, Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without permission. For contact information, go to www.hypnosiscenter.com.